Okay. Thanks for joining me, everyone. This is, we started talking about Liban last time, and I can't remember how much we got into Hetera Bala, which is different kashering methods depending on if it was your kashering it from, let's say, fleishik to parev, or from treif to kosher. We'll try to come back to that. But what I want to really talk about is the kishkas of the sugya of Liban. And it's a super interesting one. There's really two issues we're going to talk about tonight. First of all, what is Liban? Meaning, how is it described? It means koshering something with a direct flame, but how is that described in the Gemara and the Rishonim? And secondly, how does that translate into contemporary terms? And then the most interesting question is how Liban works, and we're gonna cover that too, God willing, today. And that's a super interesting sugya. So first of all, what is Liban? So we saw the last time on page 306, this is something we'll come back to, is that when you cook food using some type of utensil on an open flame, let's say a kebab stick or a spit or the grate of a grill, that, and let's say there was pork on it or something else not kosher, how do you kosher that? You have to use fire to kosher it. Like that's the basis for what we're talking about now. And the other thing that's important last time that we saw was the concept of kibolo kach polto, and that we saw on page 305, that the way something is absorbed, that's how it's expelled, meaning, and that this is one example, right? You cook something on the fire, you need to use the fire to kosher it. So, like, for example, if you want to try to dip the spit into a pot of boiling water, if you want to use hagala for that, that's not going to work, because the way it absorbed the treif flavors was through direct contact with the fire, not through water. Therefore, hagala is insufficient. So, now coming to what exactly is Liban. So, if you look on page 309, so the Gemara, this is the Talmud Bavli, says we have kama malabnon. How much do you have to literally do Liban, which translates here, how much heat accomplishes Liban? Jay, this isn't a sefer actually, but we're not spending much time in the sefer. We'll get to the sheet in a minute. Okay. So Amar Rabbi Mani ad chetashir klipasa, until the utensil sheds its outer layer. You have to burn off the outer layer of the kli. The Yerushalmi says something a little different. Sarich halibun sarich shiyu nitzotzos menat zin mimenu. You have to have sparks flying off, emitting from the metal. So the Bavli is saying you have to heat up something enough that the outer layer is burnt off. The Yerushalmi is saying sparks have to fly. You don't necessarily have to lose the outer layer, right? It seems like it's saying something a bit different. What is the difference? I don't think the difference is entirely clear. Let's take a look on the sheet real quick. So how do we? There is one more opinion. Let's see the next opinion, and we'll come back to the English part. So let's just skip to page 310. It says Kosov Harav Rabbeinu Avigdor. So I believe Rabbeinu Vigder is one of the Balitosos. I feel like whenever you're not sure who one of the Rishonim is, you just you assume they're one of the Balitosos. I think he's Rabbeinu Vigder HaKohen, but I'm not sure. Anyway, D'kashem Melabnim Ad She'im Yasim Alav Kash Shiyu Nitzotzos Nitzazim Imenu Sagi Bahachi. So he says that he's saying pshat in the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says that you have to have sparks flying. It doesn't mean how it sounds like we would understand the Yerushalmi or the Pashtus of the Yerushalmi, that there's sparks flying off the metal, right? Let's say you're kashering a spoon or whatever. You're kashering a spit. And there's sparks flying from the spit. No. What it means is that you, if you put the spit in the fire and you take it out and then you touch it with a piece of straw, that you got that spit hot enough that the straw now is emitting sparks, like the straw, the piece of straw is burning up. That's enough. So he says here, Rabbeinu Vigder Katz, right? He is a coin, right? So the sheet of Rabbeinu Vigder is he seems to have a kula in his pshat in Yerushalmi that libun is only this straw measurement, right? It's a lower temperature. What's the halacha? So take a look at the Mardukhai below, and we'll come back to all these little commentaries on in what they wrote in English explanations. Because of a Mardukhai. B'shem Ri, the kelim habaluim may iser srichem libum. So he says, the neshiras klipa. He says, if clam chowder or pork chowder, let's say pork is absorbed in your spit, that requires libun of the what the he quotes like the Bavli's. He mentions the Bavli's definition of the outer layer must be removed. Aval habaluim heter. But if your spit is absorbed with something permitted, kagon tarpida shel chalav. How do they translate tarpida? It's some type of dairy thing that you put on a spit. What does it say here? It says a milchik grill. Right, tarpida. I think tarpida is tripod. You have a milchik tripod, like you put actual dairy on your tripod for some reason. Shesarach lelabna. You, and again, the exact mitzias, what exactly the picture is over here of their utensils is not so obvious, but so you want to cook pashtida. Pashtida is a shalbasar, right? Some type of fleshik thing, kugel. Or you have your fleshik thing, you want to use it for milk. And sarach libun gadol din ashiras kli. But you don't need that full libun of removing the outer layer, rak achene yad so lettuce bo mishne evrehem. You just have to be yad so lettuce bo from both sides of the surface. Meaning, if you're heating up with the flame, side A, the other side also has to be yad so lettuce bo. The side in the flame is obviously going to be yad so lettuce bo, but you have to heat up the whole thing so the other side is hot too. And how do they determine if they reached the benchmark temperature? You put straw on the outside, meaning right from the side that's not touching the flame. Liros im nisraf akash, to see if the straw is burnt. Then it's enough. The imkain shalit halibun me'aver alaver. Then the libun has control, literally, has permeated from side to side of the kli. Afal gav shalotaser kli paso. Even though the outer layer is not removed, mikomakum dai bekach, it's still enough. The kiven to hetera bala, since it only absorbed heter, right? You're just kashering it from milk to fleishik or vice versa. Gain dai lahem bahagala. The halacha is, and this is something that I think we mentioned, or we went into some detail last time, that that if you use a spit for fleishigs and you want to make it milchiks, you're actually allowed to do that with Hagala. Or even though you're using this in a fire, so this libun of heating it up so it's yadzoletis bo, or that the straw is burnt, this is no worse than Hagala. Meaning it's at least as good as Hagala to do this cooler libun. The osa libun maflit yosem Hagala. This libun expels more flavor than Hagala. So basically, what we see here is the Mordechai accepts both definitions of libun, but for different applications. If you're kashering from treif, you need what our Gemara described. You have to heat it up so the outer layer is removed. If you're kashering something that's kosher, heterabala, right? An example is milch tefleshik. Then you're allowed to do that with heat it up just enough so that so straw is burnt. Let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. By the way, right? He doesn't seem to have this minig that we have and we discussed.
Not to switch
milk. It's inflation. Right. maybe he didn't have them, and maybe that's a later minig. But whatever he says still applies. Let's say you want to make your grill part of and have fish on it that you're going to eat with cheese, right? That you still apply for that. And we said the halacha is it doesn't apply in most cases to chametz, which I can't remember how much we've talked about that. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch at the bottom, kelim shemishtam shebehen al yedei ha'or, kigon shipodim v'askilaos. Things that you use on the fire, like spits or grates of grills, vayutzibahem, similar things, srichim libun. You need libun for that. Hagala is not enough. Vayutzibun hu adshu nitzotzos nisvin mehem. You have to have sparks flying from them. So I meant to look at the Rambam before. If you look at the Rambam, he brings this brisa that we saw last time about all the different methods of kashering. Just look at the last three rhymes. The Rambam is at top right. Says udvarim shenishtamish bahen al yedei ha'or, things are used in the fire, kigon shipodin va'askilaos melabnan ba'or ad shetinasher klipasan. You do libun in fire, you kashem in the fire until their outer layer is removed, umabilan, and you have to do tevila, right? That's talking about tevilas kelim and mutar. So the Rambam Pasch, he just quotes the lashon of the Bavli, the Shulchan Aruch. And by the way, the Mardukai also said, until the outer layer is removed. The Shulchan Aruch, for some reason, goes with the language of the Yerushalmi, who says that you have to have sparks flying.
And so it's kind of a machlokas perhaps between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Is it sparks or is it removing this layer?
Right.
Is that right?
It would seem. Now we don't.
Unless you want to say that they both really mean the same thing, and that they're expressing it in two different phraseologies.
Right. It could be. I mean, does the Shulchan Aruch mean to paskin like the Yerushalmi to the exclusion of the Bavli? Right. It doesn't seem like that would be. I think we assume they're not identical, they're similar.
Yeah.
It's just maybe the sparks fly when the outer layer is getting removed. I don't know.
And then we haven't really said for sure if one is hotter than the other. Is that right?
Right.
That hasn't really been demonstrated.
Right. We don't know. We don't really know.
I would think that the sparks flying off would be the hottest level. I would have thought
more than the outer layer.
Because my understanding is like when you polish silver, for example, that removes the outer layer by that act of like that. There's a certain layer that's coming off. So I would just imagine it's sparks flying off is the hottest thing, absolutely. But anyways,
could be. Yeah. I'll see if I find anything else about it. I didn't see anything that like really went into the difference.
Yeah.
So the Shulchan Aruch just quotes, like, you says, like, the Yerushalmi, but Haga, the Ramah, adds, V'yesh Makilin. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to bring Rabbeinu Avigdor cats, right? Like that, this whole thing about straw and this lower temperature. The Ramah does, V'yesh Makilin. Some are lenient. Im nislabin kolkach shekash nisraf alav mi bachutz. That straw is burnt on it from the outer side. And they say that that is considered libon. So this is bringing Rabbeinu Avigdor in really what he says, right? He's saying this is the definition of libon. This libon works for everything, right? The Mordechai went and applied that just to kashering from milchiks to fleishiks, but Rabbeinu Avigdor says this is how, this is the definition of libon. He just has a more lenient definition. V'nohagin, kisfar harishona, b'chol davar shedino b'libon. And our minhag, so this is how the Ramah often works, he'll bring another opinion and then say what the Ashkenazi minhag is. So he says, really, we paskin l'chumra, that whenever you, the halacha is that this thing needs libun, it requires sparks. About davar shedino b'hagala, but something that really needs hagala, rak sheyishbo sedakim, but it has cracks. So, meaning, let's say you have a pot that you is only used with water or another liquid, but there's cracks in it and food collects in there. Then the halacha is that that prevents an effective hagala. So, in that case, you could do libun, even though it doesn't really need libun, but for the cracks, you need libun. Because the libun will we assume it'll burn up any food that's stuck in the crack. So in that case, so if you're doing libun for that reason on a kli that really needs agala, oh shemachmirin lelabno, or for some other reason you're being strict to do libun on something even though it doesn't really it may not need libun, right? It's just a chumrah. Sagi belibun kal kazet. It's enough with the easy or lesser libun, like the straw burning it. So the Ramah is paskening, like the basic halacha is that libun is what's called, we call it libun gamor or libun chamor, which is sparks flying. But when it's just a chumrah, then you really something just needs hagala, you're allowed to do libun kal. Okay. So let's get back to the topic of what are these what are the temperatures here? So if you look in the Sefer on page 309 at the bottom, so he says these, first of all, it's important to note that today's metal does not emit sparks even when heated to very high temperatures, and you can't really tell if the outer layer is removed either, right, for that matter. He says, I've heard from experts this is because our metal contains fewer impurities. So meaning you if you burn something to a super, you apply a direct flame to super high temperatures, you're not going to see sparks, right? So how do we know if something is kashered today with libun gamor? So he says here, if something is red hot or the equivalent temperature, that is sufficient. So he suggests here 842 to 896 Fahrenheit. That's from Usher Weiss, from Madani Usher. He says a self-cleaning oven reaches these temperatures. Rev Nutta Greenblatt told us when we were asking him about what temperature to use for the VOD, he said, like, 900 degrees is for sure libun gamor, right, which, like, fits exactly with this, you know, implying that even a little less is. If you look at the OU master list of temperatures, and this is something we saw in the very beginning, but I just brought it again here. Libun gamor for a thin item, or if applied for an extended amount of time.
Is libun gamor the same as libun chamor?
Yeah, those are interchangeable terms. Okay. Yeah. So here he says, right, 900 degrees, right? So It gives some examples. So let's see. A thin belt comes in direct contact with non-kosher pastries in the oven. Can be koshered by hitting the belt in a bank of flames to 900 Fahrenheit for a few seconds. Okay, the second example is a baking pan or frying pan, which was used to bake or fry a non-kosher item, can be koshered by allowing them to go through an oven's entire self-clean cycle, since the pans will be heated to 900 degrees Fahrenheit for many hours. A pizza oven. So he says here, momentarily heating it to 900 is insufficient. So I'm not exactly sure why they're specifying it has to be an extended amount of time. Maybe because if it's thick, you have to make sure the whole thing, not just the surface, is 900 degrees. But the basic concept I want to take out of here is that 900 degrees is considered, yeah. So that's an objective, meaning you don't have to look for sparks. You don't even have to look for red hot. If the thing you're heating up is 900 degrees Fahrenheit, that is considered Libun Gamor. Now, it's not always easy to see what the temperature or something, you know, we use a laser thermometer, but, you know, there's always a question of, like, is it accurate? You know, it works better on some surfaces than others. Okay, now, what is Libun Kal? Meaning, so, we saw the Rabbeinu Avigdor said that the straw has to, it's not that the metal has to emit sparks, the straw emits sparks. So what temperature is that? How do we objectively define that? So so it observes here that this is a much lower temperature. At the end of that paragraph on 310, it says, according to some opinions, this refers to 536 degrees Fahrenheit. Others say the Yad Soledis is sufficient. So we'll come back to Yad Soledis in a second. Let's just concentrate on the 536 Fahrenheit. So if you look at on the bottom left here, that this OU thing, Libun Kal performed without a direct flame. So there's two types of Libun Kal. So what this is saying is if you heat, basically you can use any of these three temperatures. You could do Libun Kal even with a temperature as low as 375 degrees Fahrenheit, but you have to keep it on for 2 hours. Like, let's say your oven, right? If you want to kosher your oven with Libun Kal, and we'll talk more about ovens, so there's no direct flame, right? It's just the inner cavity of the oven is heating up, and the metal is going to heat up. But that takes time. So if you only do it 375 degrees, you have to keep it for 2 hours. If it's 450, then it's an hour and a half. If it's 550, then 1 hour is sufficient. And I believe that 1 hour is a bit machmir, like some people say 40 minutes, 45 minutes. But it does take the oven a while to get hot. So it's pretty similar to the temperature they give in our sefer, just a little bit more detailed. If you do it with a direct flame, they're more lenient. So if you look at the example, right, it says 160 on the back side of the equipment. A stainless steel work table or counter was used for hot non-kosher meat. The counter can be kosher by slowly passing a blowtorch over every inch of the top of the counter till the entire underside of the counter reaches 160. I'm not exactly sure how they reach this conclusion. An important, meaning these two types of Libun Kal, an important note, if you look in that like middle paragraph, it quotes the Mishnah Berurah, that Libun Kal can remove, he said, a residual isser left in the cracks and crevices of the utensil. I mentioned that before. That Libun Kal requires a direct flame, as described below, meaning that's that thing on the right. Libun Kal without a flame at the temperature described above, like the 550, would not be effective, meaning the if you have actual tarfus stuck in a crack on a utensil, that has to be burnt with a direct flame. If you're talking about dealing with the flavors that are absorbed into it, then 550, you know, for 1 hour is enough. And then I guess, you know, I don't know if that gets the metal to 160 or, you know, I'm not exactly sure how these two things work. But the point is that you need the direct flame to take care of anything that's, you know, actual residual iser. But in terms of the what's absorbed, that's even without a direct flame is effective. If you look at just this little thing, gray matter too, there, that thing in the middle, Rav Herschel Schachter said this is going back to what is Lieben Gamor. He says over here 950 degrees Fahrenheit, right? It's the same approximate temperature. And then he quotes Reb Moshe Feinstein, says Lieben in the footnote there, it's very small, that 700 degrees Fahrenheit is enough for Lieben Gamor. So there is some, you know, there it's not entirely clear what it is, but the basic halacha is, or the OU policy is 900 degrees. So that's the basic idea. If it gets to 900 degrees, even if it doesn't have sparks or it's not red hot, it's kosher. Okay, the only other thing I want to cover right now, we're going to save the other topic for next time of how Libun works, which is it's really a much more interesting topic. But we'll save it so we can give it sufficient time and attention. But if you look in footnote 38, the Magen Avraham says that Yad Soledis on both sides of the metal is sufficient. So this is a bigger leniency. Meaning when Rabbeinu Avigdor says that Kash has to be Nisraf, right? That the straw has to be burnt. That is the same as Yad Soledis. So we already saw that in the Mordechai, right? He seemed to equate Yad Soledis bow with Kash Nisraf. So Yad Soledis bow is like 100. The OU says it's 120 degrees Fahrenheit, right? So that's a very low temperature, relatively speaking. You know, much lower than the 160 mentioned here. So that's just something to keep in mind. You know, I think we assume that it means the hotter temperature, but that is interesting that, again, it's like a leniency within the leniency of what is Libun. So, you know, perhaps in circumstances where something would be damaged or, you know, some type of fragile equipment in a factory and you have to kasher a Libun, maybe there's room for leniency to in those type of situations. But in general, you know, we go with the stricter definitions. All right, thanks for joining me, everyone. Have a great evening.